जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीचन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीचन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, तीरावन चार जमुना तीरावन चार, जमुना तीरावन चार, कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीचन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीचन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, तीरावन चार जमुना तीरावन Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna
हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, जगत श्रील प्रभुपाद की, संवित गौर भक्तवृंद की, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी।
हरे कृष्णा, लाउड ना। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you for the Nectar of Instruction class today. Last time, the last class we were discussing about the Tattat Karma Pravartanat and Sangatyagat. I felt that from the book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Aloka, there is abundant wisdom on these two verses, Atyahara Prayasascha and Utsahanascha Dhairyat. We will devote some more time on these two, I felt, because they are very important. So today's PPT also I have made on those, Sangatyagat and Tattat Karma Pravartanat and Sangatyagat. You can show this one. Tattat Karma Pravartanat means various activities favorable for devotional service. So last time I showed you the slideshow with Navavidha Bhakti is favorable, And then many other list of items we showed, isn't it? So let us see what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here. Is it big enough? Is it coming?
Yes.
Yeah. See, various activities favorable for devotional service. So he says, Rupa Goswami, the system of Tathagata Pravardhana, acting according to the regulative principles. So in the previous session, we had covered three things I had told you regarding this, I remember. One is the four regulative principles one should strictly follow. And one should also follow the Navavidha Bhakti, worship to the Lord. And also the 64 principles given by Srila Rupa Goswami. And then a few important ones I had summarized and shown last time. So here, there is a beautiful verse quoted here from Uddhava Gita in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto. Shraddhamrita katayam me shashvan mat anukirtanam parinishtha cha pujayam stutibhi stavanam mama adarah paricharyayam sarvangai ravivandanam mad bhakta pujyabhyadika sarvabhuteshu manmatihi mad arteshu angacheshta cha vachasa mad guneranam mai arpanam cha manasah sarvakama vivarjanam madartertha madarte artha parityago bhogasya cha sukhasya cha ishtam dattam hutam japtam madartam yad vratam tapah evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavatmanive nivedinam mayi sanjayate bhaktihi onyorto onvortosya vashishyate. See, the beauty of this verse is, in about four shlokas, Krishna is telling this and elaborating this verse of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has given 64 items. I didn't show you this verse, therefore I wanted to show today. This is 11.19.20 to 24. So let us read the translation of this. Yeah.
Various activities.
Yeah, firm faith.
Firm faith in the blissful narrations of my pastimes. Constant chanting.
Shraddhamrita katayam me. Yeah.
Constant chanting of my glories.
Yeah, that is Shashwanmad Anukirtanam.
Unwavering attachment to ceremonial worship of me.
Yeah, that is Parinishtacha Pujayam.
Praising me through beautiful hymns.
Yeah, that is Stutibihi Stavanam Mama. Praising Krishna through the beautiful stutis. Yeah.
Great respect for my devotional service.
Yeah. Adaraha Paricharyayam. That means perform. One should have great respect for the very path of devotional service to Krishna. Yeah.
Offering obeisances with the entire body.
Sarvangai Ravivandanam. Yeah.
Performing first class worship of my devotees.
Mad Bhakta Pujya Abhyadika. Yes.
Consciousness of me in all living entities.
That is Sarva Bhuteshu Manmati, which means we should see all living entities that besides the soul, there is also super soul sitting. Krishna says, you know, he says, Sarva Bhuteshu Yahpashyet. He says that in every living being's body, there is Atma and Paramatma both. By seeing that Lord is with them, we will not hurt the living entity. Otherwise, we can become harsh with the living entity. We should know the living entity's father is also with him, who is super soul. Yeah. Then?
Offering of ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service.
Yeah. That is mad arteshu anga chesta acha. Yeah.
Offering words to describe my qualities.
Yeah, that is vachasa mad guneranam. That means we should use the words to glorify Krishna. Yeah.
Offering the mind to me.
That is mayi arpanam cha manasah. Yeah.
Rejection of all material desires.
Yeah. Sarva kama vivarjanam. Yes.
Giving up wealth for my devotional service.
Yeah. Madarte artha parityago. That means in a material desire means that desire which is contrary to Krishna consciousness, that should be given up. Yeah.
Renouncing.
Sarve artha parityago. That means one should give wealth for Krishna service. Yeah. And then
renouncing material sense gratification and happiness.
Yeah. That is bhogasya cha sukhasya cha. What was that? Again, material, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness. Okay.
and performing all desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows and austerities with the purpose of achieving me.
Yeah, that is ishtam dattam hutam japtam madartam yad vratam tapaha. Yeah.
These constitute
actually these activities, each of them, if you see ishtam dattam hutam japtam madartam yad vratam tapaha, these are different specific Sanskrit words used for certain type of activity. For example, purte ishtam. In the Bhagavatam also, Krishna says, purte means digging wells or building chatrams, such kinds of activities, like giving water in hot summer season for the passers-by and things like that. That's called purte, it's called. Ishta is more religious, it's considered. So, dattam means like giving dakshina. Yeah, and hutam means the offering of sacrifices. And japtam means the chanting. And madartam, yadu vratam and tapaha. Vratam means taking particular vows. And tapaha means austerity. So these are specific words used. And then?
These constitute actual religious principles by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose or goal could remain for my devotee?
So in this way, he is saying that evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavatma nivedanam mayi sanjayate bhaktihi ko anyo varto asya avashishyate. So in this way, Krishna gives a lot of clues here in this. And this is elaborated into those 64 items given by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, and there what happens, here Krishna says, great respect for my devotional service. Then he has given 32 offenses there. How to be respectful to the deities. And from Padma Purana he has taken, Skanda Purana he has taken, and Rupa Goswami Pada has collected them all and given like, therefore these Goswamis are glorified so much. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipunau Saddharma Samsthapakau. Now, we may not be able to go to Padma Purana, Skanda Purana. They are the ones containing the 32 offenses. There is a long list given. So, he knows how to extract the elements and practices of devotional service from different Puranas and give them all in one place in the form of a book like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, all the bhaktas can implement them. This is the glory of Srila Rupa Goswami. So, yeah, read this, based on this.
Based on these instructions of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami has divided these activities into 64 items in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written about those activities in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22.115.129.
Guru Pada Ashray Diksha Guru Rasevana Saddharma Shiksha Pracha Sadhu Marganu Gamana. The five things. Adav Guru Pada Ashray Saddharma Pracha Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam, and then Vishnam Bena Guru Seva, Sadhu Atmanu Atmanam. So those five are the first principles I have mentioned here. Please read the translation.
On the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master, accept initiation from him, serve him, receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master.
Actually, these five are very vital ones. Actually, these five and the last five are very important. They are called five potent forms of devotional service. So, that is called Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravana Maturabhasa Shrimurtira Shraddaya Sevana. Those are five. What are they? Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. Nama Kirtan, chanting of the holy name. Bhagavata Sharavana, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maturavas means residence in Vrindavan or making home into your Vrindavan. Shrimurti Rashradhya Sevan, worship of the deity. Those five are called five potent forms of devotional service. Just like sometimes if a steel bucket falls into your well, you know, it has gone deep inside the water. You are unable to get. So, you know, they have used like this five hooks. They throw it like this. At least one hook will catch it and then it will pull it up. Similarly, these five potent forms of devotion service, anybody gets attracted to one of them, like deity worship or hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam or associating with devotees or chanting the holy name, or Mathura Vas, then that person gets hooked in devotional service and then he is connected to Lord, very easily he can progress. And he wonders all the five what to say, speak of the benefit, immense benefit one can get. Those five are the last five. And the first five are this, Adha Guru Padashray. One should approach a spiritual master. And then one should also Saddharma Pritcha. One should inquire about Dharma from him. Like Krishna says, Tadviddhi Pranipateena Pariprashnena Seveya. Pariprashna is very important. Actually, one should accept a guru not for the sake of fashion, Prabhupada says, but to inquire about spiritual life. How to go from material world to spiritual world. How to cleanse the heart. How to awaken love for Krishna. These are questions we should ask. So, Saddharma Pritcha. And then he is saying, Krishna Diksha, Shikshadi Dikshanam. One should take Shiksha from Guru and get enlivened and inspired. Just like actually if you see the rod, iron rod, it is actually normal. But if you put it in fire, it becomes red hot. And then it becomes soft also. Then you can take it with a, you know, with a tong outside and take a hammer and hit it. When you hit it, you can change the shape of the rod. If it is a round rod, you can make it cross-section square by beating it on an anvil. Similarly, by associating with a guru, one gets shiksha. And that shiksha makes our heart like that rod, which is getting softer because of the influence of the fire. So the guru's preaching upon the disciple softens the heart of the disciple and purifies his heart. And now the heart is ready to get molded, malleable it becomes. At that time, guru may correct or offer chastisement or specific instructions to mold the behavior of the devotee in such a way that it will be favorable for Krishna consciousness. And the disciple agrees to give up all the anarthas by the influence of the guru. And then guru's positive spiritual influence. And the disciple starts reaping the fruits, benefit of his sincere practice. And then his affection and respect for the guru increases tremendously by that. Therefore it is said, Adha Guru Padashray Saddharma Pritcha Vishrambena Guru Seva Krishna Shikshad Dikshanam. One should not only ask questions, one should do seva to Guru also. One should take up some service. The Guru may tell a disciple that he worship the deities. Or of course if he is second initiated. Otherwise the Guru may say, you know, do this service, that service, cook prasad for all the devotees or clean the room, whatever. So in this way, Visharambena Guru Seva. One should do seva also. That means accept a Guru, and inquire from him about spiritual subject matter. Thirdly, render some service to him. Fourthly, take shiksha from him and also diksha from him. And finally, sadhu vartmanu vartmanam, which means follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, coming in the same guru parampara, based on the directions given by spiritual master. Yeah, like right now I am reading out all these things from Bhakti Aloka of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So he is our previous acharya. But that previous acharya is helping us to understand our Prabhupada gave us nectar of instruction. So the same book, so this is the beauty of the guru parampara. We can get help from all the acharyas. They all will help us support us in our spiritual life by giving elaboration of the, same books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Upadeshamrita. So these five are also very important. Last five are also very important. Yeah. So therefore I am giving a little more about this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How can an unintelligent person become intelligent? Here is a secret. Yeah.
Aspiring devotees should first take shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide guru. Without taking shelter of a guru, one cannot achieve anything auspicious. There are two types of people. One has developed intelligence and one has undeveloped intelligence.
This is called Udita Viveka, Anudita Viveka, we call it. Now, Udita Viveka are those who have understood very clearly that I am entangled in this material world. Sense gratification is another name for suffering. In this world, the bhog or the material enjoyment is simply enjoyment in name only. Similarly, the moksha is also useless without Krishna's service. So these people have become awakened and they have understood the goal of life, purpose of life, and they have turned towards Krishna. They are Udita Viveka. And Anudita Viveka means from the common people up to the Brahmanas, who are not yet awakened in devotional service. Like Prahlad says, विप्रात विषद गुण युतात अरविंदनाभा पादारविंद विमुखात श्वपचम वरिष्ठम मन्ये तदर्पित मनो वचने हितार्थ प्राणम पुनाति सकुलम न तो भूरि माण इज टेलिंग दैट या डिवोटी वैष्णव coming from a chandala background or a dog eater background is far superior to a non-devotee brahmana, like that he is saying. So non-devotee brahmana is called anudita viveka. Whereas a chandala or a village, if he becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes, surpasses even a so-called brahmana. So therefore, people who have not yet awakened to bhakti yoga, to Krishna, they are all called anudita viveka, yes.
Those whose intelligence is undeveloped are absorbed in the so-called happiness of this world. If by chance they get the association of a Mahajana, they also become intelligent.
Yeah. You see, just like children are attracted to balloon, they are attracted to toys, they are attracted to toffees. So sometimes even grown-ups are like that. Some people even, like small children, sometimes you see kids, they eat some cone ice cream or something. People even after becoming 50, 80, they can have the same attraction. Similarly, small teenage boys may be interested in cricket, playing cricket or watching cricket on a TV screen. But I have seen people who are 70, 80, still watching cricket on a TV screen and jumping up and, you know, when there's a sixer, they're whistling and jumping. So if he's so enthusiastic for the cricket game, then he has to be born again to watch cricket in the next life also. So, you know, so there are people who are unintelligent even after growing in age. They remain kids only. And their bodily age has increased, but their mentality is kids' mentality. And that kind of mentality has been observed in people. Therefore, they remain unintelligent. But how can we become intelligent? What he said here? He said that instead of being absorbed in worldly happiness, if one associates with a Mahajana, then one becomes serious. Just like you see, this Upabharhana was a Gandharva surrounded by beautiful apsaras, singing very beautifully, having curly locks of hair. He was showing off like a playboy. But then he got a curse by the demigods because of misbehaving in one assembly of demigods. So he fell down and then he became a Dasiputra, son of a maidservant. At that time he got association of Bhaktivedantas, and the result was, you know, how he became Narada subsequently. Same point is making here that if they get by chance some association of a Mahajana, then they also again become intelligent. And at that time what they consider, how unfortunate I am. I'm always engaged in sense gratification. I'm passing my days hankering for material enjoyment. This kind of feeling arises. This initial association with the great soul is called association with Guru by hearing. But by bhagya, param bhagya, good fortune, this time the faith is awakened. Read further. When
faith is awakened, one endeavors for devotional service. Then it is essential for one to take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru. In this way, by good fortune, persons with undeveloped intelligence become intelligent and take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru.
See, there are many people coming to our ISKCON temples on Janmashtami days. Janmashtami is a huge crowd, sometimes even 1 lakh people come. But why don't they come every Sunday for the Sunday feast? And then why don't they start taking beads and start chanting, you know, 4 rounds, 8 rounds. And why don't they eventually come to 16 rounds? And after coming to 16, why don't they chant consistently every day without giving it up and go for taking initiation, we may think. And that's what makes the intelligent people different from unintelligent people. Intelligent people means their Shraddha is increasing. It is not stagnant. It is on the increase. But there are many people coming for Janmashtami here. They go to different temples. You know, they are more like sightseeing people. Or they may have some attraction for Krishna also. They come. And they go, but they don't grow. Therefore, he is saying, if the faith has really awakened, what is the sign? He is saying, then one will endeavor to grow in devotional service. Not going through the life, but you have to grow through life, it is said, isn't it? Because you are going through life means what? Years have passed, but people are in the same old position. Correct, no? So then it is essential for one to take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru subsequently. And how do you do that? By initiation. In this way, by good fortune, persons with undeveloped intelligence become intelligent. Yeah. Now we may have a question. Okay, who is Guru and what type of Guru one should take shelter of and whom should I follow, yeah.
Has conquered the six enemies beginning with lust. Is
yeah,
pure.
Like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy and illusion. So are the six enemies which we read in the first verse. What is that? Vacha Vekam, Manasa Vekam. Yeah, yes.
Is pure.
And he practices and preaches pure devotional service. And also he follows the purity principle, which means the following the four regulative principles. Yeah.
Performs devotional service on the path of Raga.
That means he is not still a Vaidhi Bhakta when doing the basic practices. No, he has awakened love for Krishna, which is called Raganuga Marga. That means he has spontaneously started performing. Nobody needs to give him push. Guru means a person who is self-motivated, yeah.
Is Brahminical.
Yeah. That means he is clean in habits. He has the qualities of controlled mind, controlled senses, and he performs devotional austerities. And he always keeps himself clean by bathing. And also he is tolerant and forgiving. And he is honest and truthful. And also he is very knowledgeable in the scriptures. And he has a practical realization of the principles of scriptures, how to apply them according to time, place, circumstance. And in this way he has Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahmani Upasamani. He has taken full shelter of Krishna. Yeah.
Knows the clear path of the Vedas.
Yeah. He exactly knows what are the subtleties of the Vedic literature. He will not entangle us in Karmakanda or Jnanakanda. He will show the path to follow Parodharma, Bhakti Yoga, start in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Sadhus can respect as Guru.
Yeah, correct. Is other sadhus, when they see this person, whom you want to take diksha from, if they should be respecting him as a Guru. They should say that, yes, yes, he is a wonderful Vaishnava. Many, many other sadhus also should respect him. That means his character should be of that standard, yeah. Not that, you know, one day he is like a very great Guru, giving very big lecture, and then he suddenly he loves with a woman, or suddenly he misappropriated money, he did some blunder, you know, then people lose trust. People say that, you know, these guys speak big things, and then when it comes to practical, they don't apply, they will say. So whole world is actually not looking for knowledge, because nowadays knowledge is available in the internet, as we say, age of information explosion. Anybody can get any information very easily from the cloud. But people are looking for people who are living that knowledge. So Guru should be living that knowledge, yes.
Is able to control the senses.
Yeah.
Is merciful to all living entities.
Yes.
Is cultured, one who is without duplicity and is truthful. The principal quality of a Guru is attachment to Krishna and detachment for what is not related with Krishna.
This is the principal quality. All other qualities are secondary. He should be attached to Krishna and should be detached from that which is not related to Krishna. He is not interested in those things which are not related to Krishna. So in this way one should find out a Guru. You have the freedom to watch, you know, Vaishnavas from whom you take guidance. And then we watch, and then eventually over a period of time we will come to observe such personalities. Now you got a Guru now. Then how to please the Guru?
After finding a qualified Guru, a faithful disciple should serve him with firm conviction and without duplicity. One should accept initiation and Krishna mantra after pleasing the Guru.
Yes.
Those who are averse to taking initiation and only making a drama of pseudo-kirtan while advertising themselves as Vaishnavas certainly cheat themselves.
Because some people occasionally come and do 3, 4, 5 hours of kirtan and completely they appear like in great bhav. And then another 6 months they won't show up because they want to watch movies, they have gone here, gone there. So such kind of pseudo practice is not very great. And therefore he says that if one really wants to become a proper Vaishnava, one should take shelter of a Guru. Yeah.
It is not the duty of materialistic persons to renounce the process of initiation because a few great souls...
I have shown the picture here on the top, you see, Jadabharata. Now, Jadabharata, who was his Guru, we don't know. Maybe he had a Guru or maybe he didn't have a Guru, we don't know. But some people say that because Jalabharata was an enlightened soul, he didn't have a Guru, so better that I also don't take initiation. Some people argue like that. Actually, even some people say, Mirabai, she didn't have a Guru, but she was such a pure devotee of Krishna. Can't I be a devotee without initiation? So these type of people who argue, according to Shastra, they are not sufficiently sincere. Why? Because They are trying to be like exceptional people. One example I'll give you. Rabindranath Tagore, you know, he sat at home and wrote Gitanjali and such poems, and then he got honorary doctorate degree. Can everybody get honorary degree at home? Will the degree come flying from the sky for you? Few people may be given. Similarly, Jadabharata or our Mirabai or such some exalted souls may be able to go back to Godhead directly by Lord's mercy. But generally, the general principle is one should not make the exception the rule. The rule is one should take initiation and then follow a spiritual master and then take guidance from him, instruction from him, apply it, and then get purified and go back. That's ideal behavior. One shouldn't quote. The another example he gives, the general rules are not changed because something happens to a particular person. Like for example, Dhruva Maharaj went with his self-same body to Dhruva Loka, isn't it? To Vaikuntha he went in his self-same body. So this is actually not possible for everybody. Now Tukaram also went with his self-same body to Vaikuntha. Everybody saw him boarding the Vaikuntha plane. But it doesn't happen for everybody. Everybody changes the body. They give up the material body and accept the spiritual body. So, read the last line.
Whenever and whatever is desired by the Lord, who is full of inconceivable potencies, that only happens. Therefore, we should never transgress the general rules.
Yeah, general rules should be accepted by all people in general. We should not go for the exception. Some people quote the exception, like somebody, some students ask, really, Prabhu, Ajamila had a very good time. All through his life, he enjoyed and 10 children he produced in a prostitute. Even we have similar inclination also, some students say. We can also do all nonsense. And at the time, at the end of it, we have to just call Narayana. That's all, no, Prabhu? That is the lesson you learned from there. How degrading thought it is. Actually, therefore, one should not be half-baked in Bhagavatam knowledge. When one studies the whole Ajamila Upakhyan, one will cry that, you know, one will never want to fall down like the way Ajamila fell. Correct, no? And so therefore one should not misapply Ajamila's pastime. One should say that fellow gave up his chaste wife and parents. I will not do that. One should say that I will, certain examples in Bhagavatam teaches what not to do. So therefore don't take this exceptional case. Like Ajamila was an exceptional case, shouted Narayana and was saved from Yamapash. But it not happened to everybody. Correct, no? Because there are many, like Ajamila chanted inoffensively. You know that? Inoffensively means he never intended to, you know, escape from the karmic reaction. That was not his intention. So he called helplessly, inoffensively, and immediately, because of that Namabhas chanting, the Yamapash was cut immediately. So don't make kutarka. Kutarka means false arguments and remain stuck in the world. General people should follow general rules, yeah. Yeah.
Without pride, one should follow path of sadhus.
Yeah, really?
After pleasing the Guru by serving him without duplicity,
this is the meaning of without duplicity, correct? No? Without duplicity means don't make kutarka arguments, useless arguments which will never benefit us. So, there are people who make useless arguments and such arguments actually take them nowhere. That's why they don't grow. I know there are people who are spending more than 18 years in ISKCON, wandering from one center to another. They are not yet initiated and they don't have any faith in any guru or any sannyasi, and they say that, you know, Lord Chaitanya will take care of me, he is very merciful, Nityananda is very merciful. They say like that. But ultimately they get nowhere. Therefore, he is saying, give up duplicity, he is saying, and serve the Guru faithfully, yes.
One should receive from him instructions on the absolute truth and initiation into the chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Yeah, like one time, some man was telling Prabhupada, why are you not coming to temple? He said, Swamiji, whenever Krishna calls, I will come, he said. Prabhupada said, what are you talking? Krishna has already told Sarvadharman Parityajya, Mamekam Charanam Braja, he says. So, he is already saying, surrender to me, come, and you are not listening, and saying, Krishna will call me. You think Krishna has to specially send an invitation to you? Yeah, can happen.
After receiving initiation and instructions from a bona fide guru, a fortunate disciple should follow the path of the previous sadhus. Those who are proud neglect the previous mahajanas and create new paths as a result.
This whole slide you will see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about people who don't follow the guru, but who invent new paths. He's saying, like we say, no, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatrika Vidimbina, Aikantika Harir Bhaktir, Utpatayu Kalpadeya. Same thing he says that, yeah. And he gives some examples for that, yeah.
As a result, they soon proceed on their inauspicious path and ruin themselves, it is said in the Skanda Purana.
Yeah. Samrigyahas Shreyas Shreyasam Hetuhu Panta Santapavarjitaha Anavaptashramam Purve Yena Santa Pratasthire. Yes.
One should strictly follow the easy path which the previous Mahajanas have accepted.
This is from Skanda Purana. He says one should strictly follow the easy path. He's saying the path is a very easy path that Mahajanas have given. You know, chanting, dancing, feasting, following the Ekadashi vow, following the festivals, you know, glorifying the Acharyas, and following the four related principles, simple living, high thinking. Path is easy, but you have to strictly follow it. Because sometimes when the path is very easy, we take it also very casually. And then we will deviate. Yeah.
That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery.
Exactly. That is the path laid down by Mahajanas. You have to just follow in their footsteps. That is one verse. I'll show you from Bhagavatam. They want to. So I'll show you one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam which talks about. That is the verse. See. Svayam samuttirya sudustaram dyuman bhavarnavam bhima madabhra sauhridaha bhavatpadam bhoruhanavamatrate nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan 10-31 Srimad Bhagavatam. This is spoken by the Garbhasuti prayers of devatas. I'll show you the meaning of this. It's a beautiful verse. Read this. O Lord,
who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpataru.
So devotees are also Vanchakalpataru and the Lord is also Vanchakalpataru. Yeah.
When Acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience,
they leave behind
on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them.
Yeah. Like for example, the Acharyas themselves board a boat. And then they are thinking that samsara is so vast, we will use this boat to sail and then reach the other side. But then as soon as they sit in the boat, what happens? The samsara sagar, the ocean of samsara becomes water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So imagine you have entered the boat now, boat of devotion service, and then you are finding the ocean has shrunk into a hoofprint of a calf. So you enter the boat and go to the other side of the boat and get down and you find the Lord's lotus feet there. And therefore they keep the boat for you also. Then everybody, all of us come into the boat, make the samsara into one puddle of water, then you cross and then you go. Like that's what it is saying. If you read the purport, Prabhupada will explain that here. Yeah. Here Prabhupada explains that. They made Acharya, sir. Here he says, read that Acharya gives.
The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord.
Yeah.
This method is called Acharya Sampradaya.
Yeah. And then he will say, yeah. So, in Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, you will read what I said just now. that they make it very easy for all of us to, they give us the means to cross over the samsara very easily. That comes in another verse about the boat making the samsara into a small puddle of water. Yeah, go ahead. This is what you are telling, correct, no? One should strictly follow the easy path laid down by the Mahajanas. That is tat-tat karma pravartanat. Yeah.
By discussing the path of the previous sadhus, one gets determination, courage and satisfaction. When we discuss the path of devotional service exhibited by Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, Sri Raghunatha and Sri Haridasa Thakur, then we feel such happiness that it cannot be described. When the miscreant Mohammedans tortured Haridas Thakura, he said,
Khanda khanda hai deha yai yadi prana tavami vadanena chadi harinam ye savaji vere krishna karaha prasada mora drohe nahu ye savara aparada.
Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for their offense of torturing me.
This is the symptom of very advanced devotees like Jesus or Haridas Thakur. And they actually, instead of praying to the Lord for saving them from the pain of getting beaten up in 21 marketplaces, he rather prayed for the deliverance of those beaters, people. That is the nature of the great souls. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying it's very, very pleasing to hear the Mahajana's life. Yeah.
Yeah. Maintaining this type of determination and being compassionate to all living entities while always chanting the holy name of Krishna is the path of devotional service exhibited by the previous Mahajanas.
They had a great determination in their devotional service and they were also very compassionate to the other living entities even though they were very envious and they were constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. So three things are said. That means maintain your conviction, determination in general devotional service. And constantly chant the holy, and always chant the holy name, and be compassionate to other creatures. Yeah, yes.
A path cannot be manufactured. Whatever path is there should be accepted by sadhus. Those who are proud and want fame try vigorously to discover new paths. Those who have good fortune from past lives give up pride and respect the established path.
So, therefore, following the Mahajanas is the safest path. Otherwise, we will see new paths discovered by Buddha, Dattatreya and all. These are unacceptable, he says. Yeah, read that.
Although the path of devotion is of two kinds, Vaidhi and Raganuga, the previous Mahajanas have clearly prescribed them according to one's qualification. These paths are explained in the scriptures such as Shruti, Smriti and Pancharatra. Rejecting these paths, the new paths discovered by Lord Buddha and Dattatreya ultimately create disturbance. Due to improper consideration, these new paths are advertised as unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, although they are not actually so. The proper path is exhibited in the Vedic literatures. Nowadays, many new paths are discovered and they ultimately disappear along with their propounder.
Like one fellow was preaching, yato mat tato path. So that means any path you follow, ultimately everything will lead you to ultimate God. Similarly, Sambhog says Samadhi, that fellow is gone. After preaching that. So similarly Buddha, you know, Nindasi Vedam, he said, so now all the Buddhists, they rejected the Vedas. So they don't accept the Vedas also. Okay, then do they follow Ahimsa Paramadharma? You will be shocked to know abroad, there are huge statues of Buddha worshipped. In front of the statue of Buddha, they arrange a huge mountain of flesh to be offered. They are offering. And they are eating. So what is the logic? Because their whole Dharma is supposed to be based on Ahimsa Paramo Dharma, isn't it? How can they eat meat, you may ask. So their point is, you should not kill. If somebody kills and gives, you can eat. This is their logic. So in this way, many of these paths, they teach atheism, they teach voidism, they teach impersonalism, they make a person deviate from the actual goal of love of God and love for all jivas. So they make them go away from that path. Similarly, the path of the Dattatreya and the other paths, they actually are more focused on renunciation and vairagya and detachment rather than teaching the positive, constructive, loving, sweet devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which is most essential. Therefore, nobody should invent any new path and get deviated. You will see whenever any movement is started, after some time some deviations will come. And they will leave the mainstream and start something new in the side stream with a desire to become a self-effulgent acharya and beginner of something new. And therefore Prabhupada was very heavy about this point. He would never allow anyone to deviate. And if somebody deviated, he would cut them off. He would not allow them to continue. So that's the point he is making. And nowadays many organizations are popping up with the new names and new age different movements which don't teach devotional service at all. They appear like religious, but they are just teaching something mundane.
Inquiring about Sadharma, eternal religious principles, is one of the disciples' devotional duties.
Yeah, there in Nārada Purāṇa given, Sadharmasya avabodhaya yeṣām nirbandini matihi acirādeva sarvārthaḥ siddhyati yeṣām abhipsitaḥ. Those who are anxious to awaken the spiritual consciousness, who have unflinching intelligence, who are not deviated, certainly attain the desired goal of life. Like that Nārada says this. That means, you know, we should be very keen to get the proper spiritual knowledge, and we should utilize our unflinching intelligence coming in the parampara, and we should never be deviated, although there are a lot of possibilities of getting deviated. As fortunate persons wish to follow the characteristics of the sadhu's devotion service, they similarly desire to know their duty. But what do unfortunate proud persons do? Read it.
They unfortunate just proud persons act just the opposite. As they search paths different from those of the sadhus, they disrespect the sadhus' determined conclusions while respecting their own. They do not care to preach the teachings of Mahaprabhu to the people of this world. Rather, they preach doctrines contradictory to those of Mahaprabhu. They do not know how much misfortune they are creating by this.
Yeah, for example, there are 13 apasampradayas. So in one of the apasampradayas, Gauranga Nagari, they made Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu into Krishna, and they are trying to develop Madhuriya Prema like the gopis for Krishna. This is a speculated, concocted idea. Similarly, Sakhi Bekhi people were dressed like a Sakhi, like a female. Females were sari, they wear sari saying that I got gopi bhav, and they indulge in all kinds of wrong things. So in this way, the apasampradayas came after Lord Chaitanya disappeared from this world and went back to spiritual world. So our Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the one who took note of that, and in order to abolish all the apasampradayas and establish true Vaishnava Dharma, he worked very hard. He wrote more than 100 books. Therefore, even this commentary I am putting here is also given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Aloka, one of his books, where he elaborates on the two verses, Satyahara Prayasa and Utsahanashya Dairya. So very minutely he is explaining to us how we should not unnecessarily become proud. Then we will act in a way that opposes the Shastri conclusions. And people speculate. Like for example, one gentleman came up, popped up, and he said, see, ultimately what we have to do, we have to worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and we have to worship Gaur Nithai in Navadvip Dham. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the Mahamantra, which has got three words mainly, Hare, Krishna and Ram. So he said, I will make a mantra for my disciples, which will be very easy for them to recite, and all these names will be taken care. So he prepared a mantra, what is it? You know, Japanitai Gauri Radhesham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. He made a mantra. Now you go to Haridas Thakur Samadhi, and all still they are singing. There you find. So this was during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur vehemently opposed it. He said, you cannot coin a new mantra like this. Stop it, and he wouldn't stop. There was practically a war. So these are examples of deviations which come. Correct now? Similarly, the Acharya's intentions and the goals can be forgotten over a period of time. Therefore, we say Tattat Karma Pravartana. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, if you see, in Mayapur, in front of the deities, in the same temple hall, he has placed a printing press. Can you imagine? In every ISKCON temple, we have Prabhupada sitting behind. No? In that place, he has kept a printing press. Why he wanted to say that printing press is such a holy activity of printing Bhagavatam and published spiritual books. And printing press should never stop, he said. It should keep on going. Tuck, 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 and it should print books and then it should be distributed. So he would flood the ashram with books, so much so that brahmacharis won't have place to sleep there in cold time, climate, where will you sleep? So he would say, distribute the books, make a place for sleeping. Like that. So that kind of missionary spirit he had. But down the line, what happened? You know, people became more bodily conscious, you know, spending time with the body to make it more healthier, more stronger. So in this way people became forgetful of the missionary spirit that he gave. Therefore, tattat karma pravartanat means acharyas have given us some principles. We have to first clearly know them, what they want us to do. And then we have to faithfully follow it. Yeah.
Those who are simple endeavor to properly learn the teachings of
therefore,
the Lord.
You remember, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told in the Radhakund bank to 4 or 5 of his disciples were there. He said, there is fire in the matha. What is that fire? Comfort zone. That's the fire. He said, people are not going out, people are not doing service. So he said, there's fire in the mat. He said, better remove all this marble and publish books and distribute them, he said. And then he said, Agunjulbe, he said. So he was telling that, if you ever get money, print books. Our Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada says, it's not that he told only me. He told to a group of people. But who followed it? Prabhupada followed it. Our Prabhupada strictly followed it. Others might have heard it, but they didn't know the means how to do it. But our Prabhupada knew exactly. Therefore, the instructions emanating from Guru's mouth should be very carefully heard and attentively followed. Yeah. Yes.
Those who are simple endeavor to properly learn the teachings of the Lord from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord's teachings are our only life. Sat Dharma lies in this alone. The bona fide disciple especially tries to understand Sat Dharma. If he cannot understand on his own, then he prays at the feet of his Siksha Guru and learns from him. Those who have this kind of determination to know Sat Dharma quickly achieve their desired goal.
This is a very important point. Once we become material educated, youths, they become generally very proud. They think they know everything about the universe just because they see through some telescopes or they see through some electron microscope. They generally tend to become very proud that we have invented this, we have discovered that and things like that. So therefore when they come to the spiritual subject, they try to put the spiritual subject in the same platform like the material subjects and try to empirically understand it. But spiritual subject is very dynamic because Krishna is directly involved and Krishna will not reveal the truth unless he sees the right attitude in the candidate. Like the South Indian Brahman had the right attitude and Krishna revealed to him the Parsarthi realization. So therefore he is saying that, you know, Saddharma Pritcha means one should know exactly the truth as presented by the Mahajanasana, Guru and Acharyas. So one should not get misled by wrong direction. That is tattat karma pravartanat. Yeah.
As long as this pure devotional symptom in the form of understanding Saddharma has not clearly manifest in the heart of an inquisitive person, his heart remains covered with darkness and he cannot know what is pure devotional service. If one depends on his own speculation, then unalloyed devotional service will not manifest in his heart. We meet many so-called panditas who think they have understood the constitution of bhakti by their knowledge and intelligence.
They try to figure out everything by their own intelligence only, yeah.
Some of them have concluded that devotional service mixed with jnana is pure bhakti. And some of them have concluded...
Because what they say, when you talk about jnana mishra bhakti, they say that bhakti has only emotional aspect. So when you add the knowledge aspect, it becomes complete. Like that they preach, they write books like that. But Lord Chaitanya rejected jnana mishra bhakti. He only accepted jnana shunya bhakti. What is that? Jnane prayasa mudapasya. One should give up all speculation. And then one should hear in Guru Parampara. Only that he accepted Mahaprabhu. So therefore one should clearly know what Mahaprabhu accepted, what he didn't accept. Accordingly, accepting means you are tattat karma pravartanat. Yeah.
And some of them have concluded that devotional service mixed with karma is pure bhakti. They are so proud that if they hear the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they say, everyone can make their own conclusion. What is the need for taking the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita? These people never come in touch with Saddharma because they have no desire to know it. The result of performing their own concocted new process of devotional service is they can never relish pure devotion.
One gentleman came to our Pune temple and said, I am a karma yogi like Arjuna. No, I am not like you people, bhavuk people, just taking I asked him, sir, would you like to have a japamala chant the Hare Krishna? No. I am a karma veer. I am a karma yogi. And he said, I just came to the temple because my family members have come, I came. But you know, I am not a person, you know, sitting in the temple doing japa, chanting, dancing. You know, I am a mountain mover. I shake the world. I do something very big. So he is actually having a very big, big ego that he is doing something very great in this world. And Prabhupada says, Hiranyakashipu, this fellow is a tiny tot in comparison to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, by twisting of the eyebrows, he could control the demigods in heaven. He could reduce the temperature of the sun simply by twisting eyebrows and shouting at the sun. That much was his power. And he was a Triloka Adhipati, upper, middle and lower planetary system. And Prahlad Maharaj was telling Lord Narasimha, my dear Lord, I have seen how many material benefits my father had, but in one moment you smashed all of it and you chucked him out of the scene. He had no more existence. Then why will I ask for any material benefits in this world to you? Like that Prahlad said. So, and this gentleman is thinking he's a big karma yogi. That's what he's saying. Some people are very proud of their material achievements or their speculative achievements. Such people can never understand bhakti. It's not possible, yeah.
It is the duty of a sadhaka to give up personal enjoyment for the sake of Krishna. When one converts his world of enjoyment into what is favorable for devotional service, thus giving up the spirit of enjoying those objects and accepting everything as Krishna prasad, then this is called renunciation of enjoyment.
So, janya bilashita shunyam. Actually, devotional service in the beginning may be a little painful because one may think, oh, I have to give up this, I have to give up that. But eventually, you understand that you didn't give up any great thing, you only gave up your suffering. Because in the material world, the so-called enjoyments are another form of suffering only. Like imagine somebody is drinking liquor and lying in the gutter. But once he becomes a devotee, he gives up the drinking. He actually gave up suffering. Correct, no? Same thing with person who gave up smoking. Same thing a person who gave up those things which are detrimental to devotional service. Actually, they are a benediction that he gave them up. So he says that we have to watch. Everything should be first of all treated as belonging to Krishna. And then one should accept everything through Krishna only. Sanctioned and sanctified. These two words you have to remember. It should be sanctioned. Like vegetarian food is sanctioned by Krishna. And then you offer vegetarian food to Krishna and take only prasadam. That is sanctified. Both are important. Yeah. Like marriage is sanctioned by Krishna. But then marrying to beget Krishna conscious children and raise them. That is sanctified by Krishna. Isn't it? So one should in this way get sanctioned and sanctified, everything we do. Yeah.
To reside in a holy place related with Krishna is also a limb of sadhana. If one resides...
Like Dwaraka, Mathura, Vrindavan, we can reside there in the bank of Ganges, if possible. And because if somebody is working, it's not possible, then make a home into this thing. Yeah, next one.
At every stage of life, one should accept only as much wealth as needed for the practice of devotion.
As much as wealth is needed for... practicing devotion service. Otherwise, if we desire more and more, there is no end to it and the devotion service will be hampered. So like this, many principles are coming and I didn't go ahead. Why? Because all 64 principles he has explained. Bhaktivinoda Thakur like this. I only took certain things which I felt are very vital. The first five, last five are very important. So I spoke about Tathatakram Prabhavartanath now has become very clear for all of us. What is it? While following the four regulative principles, that's the first thing. Second thing is doing Navavidha Bhakti. It's very positive. Kaya Pravritti. Kaya Manasa Vacha Pravritti. That is deity worship, puja. This thing has become clear. If you want to know more about the other principles, what he says, about the 64 principles of Rupa Goswami, you can read Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Aloka, you can read. Now the next one is the Sangat Yaga. Read that.
Giving up the association of non-devotees.
Yes. Yeah. He says there are two types of Sangha, he says. See, the word Sangha itself has two meanings. Sangha means association. You have seen that? They say, you know, this is a Sangha of all the businessmen. You have seen that? Any Sangha name you remember? What Sangha they say? Sangha, They say such and such Sangha they use. Sangha actually means association of people, like, you know, Chamber of Commerce is a Sangha. They come together, all the stock exchange people come together. So like that, there are Sanghas are there like that. That is one meaning of the word Sangha, association. And another meaning of the word Sangha is attachment. So that's attachment. So both he is explaining in the next two. Associations of two types, with?
Non-devotees and with women.
That means, you know, congregating with non-devotees. Are congregating with opposite sex. So some people have a tendency Like if you are a devotee, you are chanting 16 rounds, but when you go to office or when you are in a housing colony, they have a tendency to go around watching what the non-devotees are doing. And they also connect with them over phone and personally. And when they get close to them, sometimes they will start thinking that, hey, our devotion service which we are doing is actually depriving us of certain enjoyments which these guys are enjoying. Correct, no? They will think that, see, they are having a big, nice flat and nice luxuries, and now they sleep at 11 o'clock at night, morning they get up at 8 o'clock. Here our bhaktas are telling us that we have to sleep at night 9:30 and get up at 4:30 in the morning. These guys are sleeping so late. They are all going to movie together. They are putting a party in their home. Ha ha ha, hee hee hoo hoo. All the relatives come and they are having birthday party. And they drink and smoke also. Nobody tells them anything. And I think by mistake I got into this Hare Krishna group. These guys are depriving me of so many things. Actually, this is the cheating mind. Because of bad association, the polluted mind says that, you know, Krishna consciousness is very austere and you have to give up so many things like that. But actually, this guy doesn't know, because they are indulging in all those things, what all sufferings and problems they are undergoing, that he will not know. Correct, no? Therefore, the crocodile is a creature of water and the monkey is a creature of the tree. So, the monkey should never make friendship with the crocodile. Yeah. So, karmis are like crocodiles, devotees are like the monkeys living in the tree. So, now, monkey living in the tree represents the temple and the devotee community. That is the tree. Where you get the jaman. And what is the jaman? Krishna consciousness. That means chanting, reading, hearing, coming together, keeping Krishna at the center. That is jaman for the devotees. And one should be satisfied. So one day when the crocodile came and asked the monkey, "Monkey, how are you?" Monkey said, "All right, I'm going on." And then monkey asked, "How are you doing?" Crocodile said, "Oh, I am enjoying life. You see, I have full freedom. When I go in the lake, I can see the free blue sky. I can see the beautiful mountainscapes by the side of the lake. And I can see very nice greenery. And in this way, I enjoy my life carefree. There is no one to stop me." And then the crocodile asked the monkey, "What about you?" Monkey said, "What to do, you know, I am stuck in this tree. I have to eat only this jamun here and I am not allowed to jump anywhere else. I have to remain." So like devotees sometimes feel, we always say that, you know, read Prabhupada books, stay in Sangha of devotees, don't mix with these people, those people. So I am very restricted. So monkey felt like that. And then the crocodile said, "If you don't mind, I can take you for a joy ride." Monkey said, "Really?" The monkey said, "My mother, father have gone out of station. Till they come, I have been alone at home. I think it's a good time to travel with you and experience a bit of the free life that you enjoy, carefree life, because these guys won't allow me to enjoy carefree life, so I will come with you." So he sat on the back of the crocodile and crocodile started going in the water. As the crocodile went to the middle of the lake, and the monkey was, actually monkey was looking at the mountains and the greenery was enjoying, but after some time he saw everything went far away, he was in the middle of the lake, all around water, water everywhere, like ocean. It was a serene lake, but it was very vast amount of water, and the monkey became afraid. He told the crocodile, "Hey, my dear crocodile, I am feeling little fear, phobia, because we are creature of the land, and this, your body is like a paper I am sitting. In case I slip and fall, I am gone. I am getting little fear," he said. In the same manner, devotees of the Lord cannot enjoy like karmis. It is not possible for them. Even though they may pretend to be like karmis, eventually they will get tired, because devotees have a different quality. They will very soon realize how sweet is devotional service. But sometimes foolishly, a devotee leaves the company of other devotees and tries to enjoy like a karmi. Maybe for some time he can do drama and come back. So therefore the monkey felt very uneasy. And then he asked, "Can you please take me back to my tree?" he asked. And crocodile said, "My dear monkey, I didn't tell you the truth. You know, yesterday when I went home, my wife was suspecting that I have some intimate friendship with another crocodile ani." And the crocodile ani means she crocodile. "Besides my wife, she thought I have some extramarital affair with another crocodile. I repeatedly told her, no, my friend is only a monkey. She was not trusting me. At last she told me, okay, I will only trust you if you bring your friend here to our home. Therefore I am taking you, my dear monkey. And she also said she had a great desire to cook your kalaja. Kalaja means a heart. She will break your heart open and remove your heart, and she wants to cook for our lunch today at home. Monkey said, what? You agreed for that? Yes. And the monkey and the crocodile said, yeah, what to do? You know, wife is demanding, how can I say no? He said, alas, monkey thought this is his spine was passing, there was electricity passing in his spine. Oh, he's going to take me, they are going to cut me open, my heart will be taken, I'll be finished, I'll be dead. What will happen to me? The monkey got very fair. Immediately prayed to Lord in the heart, oh Lord, please give me some sadbuddhi, and by which my devotional service will be saved, my life will be saved. So Lord gave him intelligence, and the monkey said, wait a minute, he said, my heart is kept in the tree. So therefore if you take me there, I will pick it up because your wife wants it. And the foolish crocodile took him back. Once the monkey boarded the tree, he sat and said, you nonsense crocodile, get lost from here. This is our last friendship. I will never even look at your face, ugly face, get lost from here, he said. Crocodile said, but where is the heart? You said you will come with me. He said, heart? I actually gave my heart to Krishna already in the tree. Because tree is a devotee community and Lord is there only, isn't it? So I have already given my heart to Krishna. Therefore I could come back. So he said, you will never get this. This heart is not for you. This heart is for Krishna. In the same manner, devotee should give their heart to Krishna. Sometimes the devotee children wear a t-shirt. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Correct? I wish really it happens. to somebody. If you can lose our heart, it should not be only in the t-shirt. It should actually be practical in our own hearts. So, then the monkey became an intelligent monkey. He learnt one solid lesson by going in the middle of the lake. So, that's what he is saying, that so with such a non-devotee crocodile type of people who are very, very pretentious and duplicitous, one should not associate. One should keep away from them because those guys will spoil. Like sometimes a devotee goes to a place which is very cold zone, and he may be chanting 4 round, 8 round devotee, but somebody in that zone tells him that, you see, in cold zones, unless you drink liquor, no, you will not have sufficient heat in your body. And then this devotee also starts thinking, actually I will not drink, but my friend is saying that it's necessary for this climate, so he starts drinking. Then what kind of devotee is he? Eventually degrades. So in this way people have degraded, by bad association. Okay, and attachment is also of
two types,
yeah.
Attachment for prejudices and attachment for assets,
yeah.
Those Mahatmas who wish to attain perfection in devotional service should carefully give up Sangha in the form of association and attachment. Otherwise, the Sangha will gradually and surely ruin everything.
So this type of Sangha, that means Sangha, one meaning of Sangha is associating with women or associating with non-devotees. Not just one, many non-devotees, getting close to them. Actually, non-devotee's lifestyle is different. Our lifestyle is different, devotee lifestyle. So if we get too close to them in the name of preaching, then eventually we will get polluted, we'll get degraded. One time, one of our students went to call some boys from the hostel. So when he went room to room, in one room he heard a very favorite old Hindi song, very favorite song which he used to sing in his school days. Oh, he heard the song when he called the devotee, and that boy was watching that movie. And the boy said, sir, can you please wait? Just wait for 2-3 minutes. This movie is ending. After that, I'll come with you, he said. Then he went inside the room and he said, while the boy was watching, he was also watching. He was enjoying. This is my favorite song. He was nodding the head also. Then the leader was wondering, hey, this boy went to call other boy. He got stuck somewhere. So he sent another devotee to call. So when the devotee came, he saw this boy was spending half an hour in the room. So he had got carried away. Correct, no? By the old movie, favorite movie. In this way, sometimes we may begin devotional service with a good intention, but along the way, we may get lost by bad association. Another proof for this is Ajamila also. Correct, no? Ajamila, he didn't go to forest to see this Shudrani in purpose. He didn't do that. His intention that's coming here, and I think it's coming I don't know where I put the Tajamila, I don't know where it didn't come, I think. So, okay. So, Ajamila's intention was what? To pluck flowers and bring. But he saw another side, he got carried away. So the beginning intention may be pure, but eventually along the line down, it may get impure. Therefore, one has to be very careful about avoiding the bad association of people who will pollute our intelligence. Like Ajamila was polluted by Shudrani, Kaikeyi was polluted by Mantara. They all got spoiled by bad association. Karna was polluted by Duryodhana, and Dhritarashtra was polluted by Duryodhana, spoiled by these people. Sometimes even good souls, in Bhagavatam there is a verse, Narakasya Saka Kaschit Duvido Nama Vanaraha. There is one verse which says, Narakasura is Bhaumasura. He had one very favorite friend, his name was Dvivida, it says. So actually Dvivida was not supposed to associate with Bhaumasura. He made a big blunder in his life. What happened was, Dvivida Gorilla, you will find Dvivida Gorilla in some people's homes on the altar along with Sitaram, Lakshman, Pattabhishek, Hanuman is sitting down. On this side Dvivida and this side Mahinda you will find standing. Even today, in many homes they keep. Because they are such close associates of Lord Rama. Next to Hanuman, these two are the close associates. Gorilla and Dvivida and Mahinda, both of them. But what happened down the line, he was very respectful to Ram, but he became offensive to Lakshman. Lakshman is the Adi Guru. He misunderstood Lakshman and committed third aparad, Guru aparad. He did. Guru or Avajna, he did that. Due to that, he lost the stability in devotional service. And eventually, he became more of a demon. And then that happened how? That happened because of bad association. With whom? Narakasya Saka Kaschit Duvido Nama Vanara. He made friendship with Narakasura. So, now how did he become friends with Narakasura? I think there was also Banasura, I think. He was connected to Banasura. Banasura introduced him to Narakasura, I think. See, one Asura introduces you to another Asura also. Very nice Asura association you'll get. Asura's association. So, therefore, our polluting in associations will increase if we connect with such people. So, we all have to see amongst our friends who is degrading us and amongst our friends who is elevating us. Like, for example, some devotees come and say, Prabhu, when I associate with that devotee, you know, Prabhu, I also sleep in the daytime 2 hours. Because you go to his room, you know, he is lying flat with a fast fan, you know, then I also lie down, I go to my room and put on the fan and lie down. I just copy what this lazy fellow does. So if you associate with lazy people, you become lazy. If you associate with crazy people, you become crazy. If you associate with advanced, sincere, serious and strict devotees, and it is a fact, you will see that. Like for example, one devotee had a close friend in the ashram, he would see, if the light is on at morning 3 o'clock, what is the meaning? Yeah, he's studying. Immediately he will think, my Lord, I am getting up at 3:30 and this my friend is already up and he is studying Bhagavatam early morning. And early morning our mind is like wax, everything gets registered and he can hear very nice shloka recitation sounds coming from there. That is added, you know, it gives added boost. He is not only sitting, he is memorizing shlokas and he is becoming a famous preacher, working hard. What am I doing? I am sleeping. More time. So when you see another devotee who is doing very well, you make friendship with such devotees. Then we elevate by their association. And then one day you get up at 3:30, you go to another friend's room and he is asleep. You go at 4:15, still he is asleep. And then what happens? You think that, you know, am I the only one who got up so early? Am I the great soul? You think like that. You know. So therefore, even amongst grihasthas, what they do? They make phone calls to each other and they help. Like one family gets up early and they send like this circular phone calls. They wake up them, like that it goes. Ultimately the phone call when it returns to this family, that means the loop is complete. All the 6 or 8 families have gotten up. They have been woken up like that. And then actually we need such friends we need who will wake us up early in the morning. Now Today I was with one of the Pune counselors group, Prajananda Prabhu's group. Morning, I came to know every day, every single day they are reading 7:30 to 7:50, 20 minutes of Bhagavatam. Prajananda Prabhu brings all his counselees online and they read 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday. And that too morning hours. So all the men, 7:30 to 7:50, they 20 minutes they hear, then they take their prasad, everything, then they go to company and everything. What a good habit it is. They complete their rounds and then they hear the Bhagavatam and then they go. So we need this kind of association, good association, which will be purifying and elevating. But we don't want asat sangha. So bad association will degrade us. You read it? Yeah, those mahatmas who wish to attain perfection in devotional service should carefully give up the sangha in the form of association and attachment. Otherwise, the sangha will gradually and surely ruin everything. And here he quotes this verse, sangatyaga, sangatsan jayate kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate, krodhat bhavati sammohaha, sammohat. So he quotes that. In this way, here the sangha word means association also. Bad association. A practitioner should always remember this instruction of the Lord. Yeah.
If a practitioner engages in prohibited association, then gradually his attachment increases. The more this attachment increases, the more his firm faith in the supreme goal diminishes.
So here we all face one problem. What is it? When you come across bad association, you want to give it up also and you want to not give it up also. That kind of feeling, like Ajamila, you know, I don't know where I put that picture, Ajamila, it's missing. Here it is. If you see this Ajamila here, see, he is watching that scene of prostitute embraced by the Shudra, and they both are smiling and embracing and kissing. He saw that sign. Now what should he do, ideally speaking, a Brahmana? He should run away from that place. Because is it good association or bad association? Worst association. But what is he trying to do? Trying to say. Why does it happen? It's called avidya. Avidya means it's, ignorance. The jiva is in ignorance now. So, ignorance means what? What is bad for us appears good. And what is good for us appears bad. Like one mother was telling the boy, hey, beta, I gave you so many gem chocolates, your tooth are all, four, five, tooth are gone now. So she purchased orange and gave him. He threw orange like a ball. Then she purchased banana and gave. Banana also he threw it on the road. Mother was saying, you're throwing on the road? What are you thinking in your mind? He said, I want only gems. Adam, that means what is bad for the teeth, he wants. And what is good for health, he is throwing. Asatyare, satya kori mani. What is bad, he likes it. So this is very deadly. Unfortunately, in this world, bad things are very attractive. Like maida, if you see, if they make maida samosa, pakoda also. It's very crispy, maida biscuit. But if you make something of wheat, it may not be so crispy. People don't like it. Hey, you are making of wheat. It's not so crispy. Okay, you want crispy item, but it's very deadly for your health. Your maida is like white poison, they say. So what I am saying is, bad things are very, very attractive. Like Suruchi Suniti. Who had good qualities? Suniti. Suniti. She had good qualities. And Suruchi was very good looking, but she would shout like that at Dhruva. She had bad quality, you'll say. But the king was attracted to whom? Suruchi. He was attracted to the beautiful queen, not to the queen Gunavati. Good quality. See, this is the world. Actually, what is not good for us, our mind is attracted. And what is good for us, mind says, oh, I am lazy for it, I am reluctant. And this is how many of the students find it difficult to pick up Krishna consciousness in the early stage. But one good news for the devotees, if you have chanted attentively and if you have tasted devotional service, so the result will be what? You will clearly know that this is good, this is bad, and I will choose only the good. That sincerity will come over a period of time. Yeah. Yes.
The purpose is that the living entity is spiritual. Being conditioned by Maya and falsely proud due to ignorance, the living entity has forgotten his constitutional position. In his pure state, the living entity does not associate with Maya. Rather, he remains fully spiritual. In the spiritual world, all the association of the living entity is spiritual. Therefore, the eternal Sangha of the living entities in that state is desirable.
Yeah.
The Sangha in the conditioned state of a living entity is polluted. That Sangha, being polluted with nuisance in the form of association with non-devotees and women and attachment for family and assets, is unfavorable for one's advancement. Spiritual Sangha of the living entities is compatible, and mundane Sangha is incompatible. To get free from this incompatible Sangha is the living entity's liberation.
Yeah, these are facts. So in order for doing this, we need some amount of push by good devotees. Those are sincere, strict and serious devotees. We need such good company to give us a positive push. And then here he is quoting jnanis and mundane scholars. They don't depend on the mercy of the Lord. So he is also saying, some jnanis appear to be accepting devotional service, but their goal is not devotional service. They will use it as a tool, and once the moksha is attained, they will give up devotional service also. So, therefore, jnani sampradaya is simply a cheating. It's unacceptable. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that such are the symptoms of jnani sampradaya, philosophical speculators, he says. In all their activities, there are no symptoms of eternal serving mood or subordination to the Lord. Similarly, the karmis and yogis and the demigod worshippers, and what to speak of atheists. So, four categories are given in four paragraphs. The karmis actually are indulging in selfish activities, and the yogis are after acquiring some siddhis and powers to show off. And then the demigod worshippers, they also have no respect for the Supreme Lord. They don't know how he is different from other demigods. And then the trilogicians, jnanis. So in this way, what to speak of atheists, he says. He says, those who are attached to sense gratification and thus have no opportunity to remember the Lord are also counted among non-devotees, he is saying. In this way, he gives a very elaborate list of who are the asat sangha we have to avoid. It's very beautiful point-wise he has given. I read it.
If one associates with these non-devotees, then in a very short time, one's intelligence is polluted and one's heart is overcome by their propensities. If anyone desires to attain pure devotional service, then he should carefully give up the association of non-devotees.
Exactly. If you are really serious about going back to Godhead, we have to little bit put extra effort in avoiding bad association. So the second association is women. So he is saying association with women is detrimental. Prabhupada says in one place, woman means for a man, woman is woman, and for a woman, man is woman. That is what Prabhupada is saying. Just as women's talking, behavior, speech is very pleasing to man, same way, very intelligent men and very handsome men and men who are in very big positions and powers, and they have the charisma to attract a lot of people. So these people are people whom women can easily get attracted to. So for a woman, man is woman, Prabhupada says. And for a man, woman is woman. So women actually should practice chastity, and men should practice brahmacharya. Then when they marry, then the family will be a powerful family, Prabhupada says. So here it is mentioned here, Rasa Sangha Tyaga Vaishnava Chari, Sri Sanghi, Eka Sadhu, Krishna Abhakta R. So which means common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. Vaishnava should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. And then he is saying there are two types of Vaishnavas, householders and renunciates. And renunciates are forbidden from speaking with any woman, he says. By the instruction to give up the association with women, they have been forbidden from conversing with women. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in CC, Shudra Jeeva Sabha Markata Vairagya Kariya Indriya Charaya Bule Prakriti Sambhashya. There are many persons with little in their position who accept the renounced order of life like monkeys. They go here and there engaging in sense gratification, speaking intimately with women, he says. So Mahaprabhu himself exemplified. Prabhupada says, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in Mahaprabhu's avatar, Mahaprabhu was very strict in dealing with opposite sex. He respectfully dealt with them. He never intimately dealt with them. When the Vaishnavas came to Jagannath Puri, the men came in the front and women were behind. That's a proper culture. Mahaprabhu wished the women also, Hare Krishna, when they came, all of you welcome to Puri. He welcomed the men, welcomed the women. But he never intimately talked to any woman alone, privately, indulging. So that is not meant for a sadhu. And then regarding the Vaishnavis, He says, Purvavat Prabhu Kaila Asabara Milena, Stri Sabha Dura Haite Kaila Prabhura Darshana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received them all, just as he had received in previous years. The women, however, saw the Lord from a distance. So one cannot get close to the sadhu's duties to keep away from women. And this is a prescription for regard to householder Vaishnavas also. Householders should not associate with others' wives or prostitutes, he says. They should not indulge in any association other than with their own wives, according to religious scriptures. One should give up the luxurious mentality of being excessively fond of one's wife also. He's saying, you see, nowadays, educated families think that, hey, this is all old system of women being kept aloof at home and all. Now we are all educated. You know, men, women are like unisex now. There are unisex saloons also nowadays. Everything is unisex now. So they think that, you know, we are educated Vaishnava Vaishnavis, and therefore they very freely talk to other men. Similarly, men also talk to other men's wives very, like in a friendly manner, jovial manner. They joke and talk. But I have witnessed with my own eyes where such kind of free culture was entertained, people have fallen down. Women have divorced their husbands and married another fellow. Similarly, that fellow also has done a similar thing. So all these complications come in society because they are not faithfully, for strictly following this. Women should be called as matajis, and one should occasionally for service they has to talk. Otherwise, one should not become, I already told before, PPFF formula. One should not privately talk. One should not personally talk about personal matters, private personal matters. And one should not be frivolous. And one should not be, what is the fourth F I said? One should not be personal or private or frivolous or familiar. One shouldn't become overly familiar with a woman. Husband and wife can be familiar with each other, but others cannot become familiar with the woman, or frivolous also. So, now we will stop here. And next time when we meet, we will discuss the satovritti. So, sangatyaga satovritti. So, I also want to say something about, if you have to avoid all this non-devotional association, then how are we supposed to live in this world, especially for grihasthas? So I want to say a little bit more about it, and then Satavritte, we will finish this verse in the next sitting. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.